This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Good afternoon. I think this session was designed for elderly people. I don't quite feel like I'm in that slot. I'm 17, turned around. But I still feel well, and I hope you do too. So we have that here. We have mostly that type of people. All right, to visit simply means to come, to go or come to see a person or place, to stay with a guest. Visitation, this is a dictionary, not Webster's, but a visit, especially an official one, like a prime minister, president visiting our country. You might have an official visit with some, law officer or something, along that line, hospital visitation, the visitation of a prison, and so forth. All right? Let's take these references. Deuteronomy 10:19. I want you to take that. Brandon, maybe you can take the first one there. Deuteronomy 10:19. If you have any comments on these in relation to visitation, you certainly take them. The brother over here, my left, back there, he has gray hair. It's Leviticus 19:33 and 34. All right? And then Matthew 5:13 over here with the kind of the, yes. Matthew 5:13. Okay, let's have Deuteronomy 10:19. I have your input here on how to do this work. When are we going to do it? Why or where? So forth, okay? Now, let's have Deuteronomy 10:19. Old Testament, yes.
Deuteronomy 10:19. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt.
All right. Any comments there, Brandon? How can we apply that to Lancaster County or to... How many are here from your this Lancaster, Chester, or this part of Pennsylvania? Some of you are. Let's see, some of you are from other places, Maryland, is that right? This brother right here,
Haiti.
Haiti, bless you, way back there, who's?
Maryland,
all right, well, we'll just keep on moving here. What's, Brandon, did you have anything that you'd like to say on that?
Well, it just says that we should love people who travel and who are visiting.
Right.
Because we remember that we were in the same place.
Right.
Or the Israel, remember, they were travelers and sojourners as well.
Exactly. Okay. Read Leviticus 19:33 and 34.
And if a stranger sojourn with thee in your land, ye shall not vex him. If a stranger that dwelleth, well, I'm not sure which ones did you say?
33 and 34.
Okay. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you, and thou shalt love him as thyself, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God.
Wow, that goes pretty far out. Tourists, Lancaster County, 3 to 4 million per year. For years already it's been that way. Are we blowing the horn at them if they don't move fast enough in front of us? Are we giving them a, kind of a welcoming them? I worked in a tourist information center down near Morgantown. Little Red Schoolhouse there. I went there to school 8 years and later worked there 7 years in the summer months, and God blessed me with another good job locally in a building supply company the other months, and I was so blessed. Thousands of people traveled through that area and stopped in there. The first summer we had quite a few people. The second summer, 1970. We had so many people. Sometimes they couldn't hardly all get into that little one-room schoolhouse. They wanted information, where to go, what sites there are to see, where to go for motel, restaurant, this, that, the other thing. Why, what's the difference between the Amish and Mennonites? Wonderful opportunities to witness for Jesus. I never forgot those days. The first day I was there, a man came and said, you have an expression on your face. I say to this glory of God, of course, you have an expression on your face that I wish I was looking for a long time. You have a peace in your eyes and your face that I wish I could have. We took him along home for supper that night, and we cooked a meal. He and his fellow people that were with him, four of them, and we sat together. And remember, we discussed the things of God from the Bible. He wanted to know the way of peace. Now, he didn't receive the Lord that night, but we just had the privilege of sowing the seed of the gospel. That's my heart. I hope it comes through in this way. We want to talk about building relationships. These Bible references is the first part of the outline, building relationships, bridging the ravine. Now, these verses that you just read could easily be applied in your community if you have tourists coming around from other areas. Now, I worked at a, for 17 years, I worked for King's Country Corner. They're near the Village of Intercourse, a furniture store and home decor, so on. It was just a small, low-paced place back against the hill where you couldn't build any bigger. And it was tight, but we had people coming in there from all over the world. Across in the Far East to the Middle East, including Israel and other Arab countries, and Europe, Africa, and so on, from all over the world. And not every day do we have opportunity to share Jesus, but we were asked questions at times. And I actually took them on some tour guides sometimes. Very interesting. And this is what we're not supposed to do. We're not supposed to beep, beep, beep if they don't move ahead of us, ahead far enough, you know, fast enough at the red light or don't know which way to go. Go help them. Tours. Go help them. Be kind to them. Don't vex them. Don't get them angry. This is part of all this, this work of visitation. All right? And let's go to Matthew 5:13.
You are the salt of the earth, and your salt has lost the savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot.
Okay. Now this verse, normally, the earth usually is considered as, in the correct interpretation, the earth is what? Ye are the salt of the earth. What? What's he speaking about? Church or the world?
The world.
Now I'm going to give me the opportunity today to apply it to the church, all right? I'm just going to apply it. You are the salt of the church, in a sense. We should be salt shakers in the church of Jesus Christ. We should be ministering life to each other. Jesus is speaking here to the relation to the world. We need to be that salt. People do not usually realize the importance of salt in connection with maintaining life and health of their bodies. In our bloodstream, did you know your blood runs through your system, what is it, every 24 seconds or something like that? It's amazing, amazing, isn't it? The way this thing, the heart keeps pumping it around. And it needs a certain percentage of salt, an exact percentage, in fact. And any great deviation from this amount of salt would result in sickness and in death. Permit me to make some applications. The proper amount of salt is extremely important for the life and health of the body of Christ. Strong Christian families have a lot to do with a godly, balanced, be godly, balanced salt shakers in the church and in the world. You can be one of those salt shakers, just the right amount. Let's go to these references, what Jesus talked about in visitation. Matthew 5:35. You can turn there in your Bible, unless you want to just follow along. For I wasn't hungry, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Three things there. Three things we can do. Hungry, thirsty, stranger. Now, we live in Belize, in a very poor section of the country. It's the slums. We see rats in the daytime out in the front, not in our yard, but across the street, and so on. And we have this girl. She's a little bit, not quite as senile as her brother, twin brother, senile, a little bit retarded, but slightly, just slightly. And she comes to our door maybe one time with her cup, because Marilyn trained her, so she's supposed to bring her own cup along. And this is all maybe in one day or in the afternoon, and it's hot, warm, and she comes to our door for a drink of cold water. Okay. And then maybe an hour or two later, Deidre comes again. An hour or two later, Miss Deidre McKay, 17 years old, comes again. And the fourth time she might come. Now, that's not every day, but that can happen. Now, what is Merrill supposed to do? Give her a drink of cold water? Yeah, she does. She puts a little ice in it and gives her a drink. Now, was Jesus coming to the door? Maybe you have a better explanation of that than I do. It may not mean necessarily that, but it could be. I guess, you know, there'll be a reward someday. That's kind of the area, kind of thing we're living in, but we often think of that. What would Jesus do? And so on. Well, we tried, and she also has Bible classes with a group of girls in the community. And so she gives them the gospel and encourages them to give their lives to Jesus Christ, of course. We have four things. I was hungry, thirsty, drink, or stranger. Three things here, okay? We can do, and we'll be rewarded for it. All right, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Of course, here it is too, naked and ye clothed me, I was sick and ye visited me, and I was in prison, ye came unto me. Jesus is there. Prison services once a week for us. It's a tiring day. It's intense. We walk a great distance. The Maryland and some women go to the ladies' prison, the ladies' section, I go to the men, preach to them. They're up right around my me afterward asking questions, asking for pens, asking if I could do this, have questions. Some sometimes want to become Christians. Some want to show me something that they wrote in their journal because they are Christians. It's just an encouraging time, just such a joy. If you have an opportunity in your church or community to visit a jail or a prison, I encourage that. Very, very interesting. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee and thirsted and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. I look at that verse and I'm encouraged. And then Jesus even said, we'll receive a reward at the end. Are you looking forward to that reward? I am. There's nothing wrong with that. Certainly we don't work for a reward. Now there's a little difference. Back in Matthew 7, Jesus talked about a group of people that are wondering, at the judgment day, did one not do this? Did we not do this? Did we not cast out devils? Your name did this, your name did that. Did we not do this? But here, these people are asking, when saw we thee? See, we just should do it as because we love the Lord. Not necessarily because we want a reward, although we can look forward to that. Not just to be seen of men, but just to do it as because we love Jesus. Because it's the least of our job to do. It's just it's something Jesus said, you know, to that one man. He said, when you have done the things that I've asked you to do, you're still unprofitable servants, right? Amen. All right. That should be 27 to 29. I'm sorry about that. Did I? The computer must have made a mistake. All right. We'll go to that one. 27 to 29. You can turn your Bibles there if you care to. And I want you just to, somebody, let's see. The next brother over here is sitting right there. Yes. You want to read that, brother?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Luke 10, 27, 29. Think about this passage. What can we learn from the Good Samaritan in relation to visitation? What nugget do you find in this passage that really shows his compassion and care? This man is going beyond the law or the job description. Interesting. Jesus points something out, and I want you to catch it, okay? Luke 10, 27, 29, all right?
Verse 27, and he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.
Excuse me. I meant 29 through 37. And I think we know the Good Samaritan story quite well. And I think back in verses 36 or 37, there's something, maybe you can quickly, excuse me for interfering there, interrupting you, brother. There's something that's very interesting. That should not be a 27. It should be a 37, actually. Or 36, maybe. Yeah, 37. That's right. Okay. There's something in verse 35. I want you to see that this man went beyond his job description, beyond the law. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. We tell people in police, when we give them some orientation and before, we tell them, you know, you should go beyond your job description. You have a job description, okay, but go beyond that. I told my daughter before she went to Paraguay to be a nurse, I said, now you're assigned there to be a midwife, and you'll be delivering babies, and you'll be busy with that. But I said, you know, sometime go beyond your job description. Take care of the children of your house parents, of the directors of the work there in Paraguay. Maybe some evening just to volunteer, we'll take care of your children while you can go out to eat together, something like that. You know, beyond it. Think about that in relation to visitation as well in this respect. Now, what is there here? And you can read that, brother, that same brother there, verse 35. Okay, verse 34 and verse 35 together, please.
When I come again, I will repay thee.
In verse 35, there's a little nugget of truth there that shows us that he went beyond the law. What was really required of him, or beyond the job description? What was it? What blesses your heart there? Now, we know he poured in oil and wine. That was good. But something there, can you see it? Can you find it? Something more than he did. Now he took out 2 pence and gave to them, to the host, to pay his bill, take care of him. And then do you see the next part? Whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, see it? I will repay thee. You know, I'll go away. I'm leaving. I'm going to come back and come back again. I'll come back. And whatever more is on top of that bill, I'll pay for it then. Beautiful, isn't it? Visitation might require something from our pocketbooks at times. It requires sacrifice. It requires time, does it? We think of visitation. I don't know what you were expecting in this study. I read a book, well, I studied from a book, and I took class in a Bible school of this book. And then I taught the book later. It was Introduction to Child Study by Clarence Benson. That was an old book. And he was a psychologist, which we kind of question. We have question marks when we say that word. But anyway, he's left something good there in his book. He said in all Christian education, 3 phases of it in Christian education, we should tell, we should teach, we should train. Christian education, okay? One is to know, another is to grow, another is to do. The one affects our head, the other our heart, the other our hands. Which did this Good Samaritan do? Which one of those three? Or all three, right? The Pharisee came along and just, he didn't even hardly look at him. He just kind of, well, it wasn't that wide. It was a very narrow path. Jerusalem down to Jericho, very, very narrow. But he hardly looked at him. The next man came along and kind of looked down at him and probably kind of reached his heart, but he just went on. But the Good Samaritan took him up and put him on his donkey, took him down to the inn and paid the bill there for him. But not that only. He said, when I come back again, I'm going to give you, I'll pay the rest of the bill when I come back to visit again. A beautiful picture. The one is no grow and do. Teach, train. Another one we could say this way is acquisition, assimilation, application. And I remember, I think this as well, to have this kind of a class on exercising what we've learned here so far and put it to practice in our everyday lives. Put it to practice. It's the last class of the day. I like that. In school, usually I had math the first period, right? Maybe English the second period, third period, maybe some... Well, after lunch, it was often geography and history. You know, math is kind of like the facts. And it's kind of like the telling and the acquisition. And then to assimilate and enjoy it, the one kind of affected our head, like the math. And the one that really affects our hearts more is social studies, geography, history, which I just loved, and so on, is kind of builds character, you know, just builds something in you. But often the last period in schools, they wait for the phys ed period, you know, they exercise the last period. Or some might even do more than that. They might go out to a neighboring community and pass out some tracts or food. It's putting to what we have learned into practice. And I like that. And I like that. I think that's what we need to do in this area of visitation. When are we going to do it? And how do we do it? In relation to visitation, we need to remember that it takes time. Building relationships. That's the second thing I want to discuss here. Wasn't quite the one I wanted. There is a very good verse. James is writing to the church in general, pure religion, and undefiled before God and the Father, says, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. You know, this thing of visitation is a pure thing. It's undefiled. It's such a blessing. You need to put it into your schedule. You ought to do it. I think in every mission organization ought to somehow have their visitation as a priority, besides prayer and Bible study, and visitation should be a part of our priority. There is a verse there in Hebrews 3:12-13 that says, therefore we ought to also take care of people within our brotherhood. Take care lest any of you, that's in Hebrews 3:12-13. Therefore, beware, brethren, take care, lest there be in any of you a wicked, unbelieving heart which refuses to cleave to, trust in, rely on, leading you to turn away and desert or stand aloof from the living God. But instead, warn, admonish, urge, encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened into settled rebellion by the deceitfulness of sin. That's Hebrews 3:12-13, the Amplified Version. And we ought to do that every day, it says, to encourage each other. Somebody on the phone, give somebody a card, send them an email. We ought to be in the brotherhood encouraging each other. Now, there's another, you know, we were talking here about hospital visitation and prison visitation. But you know, there's another kind of visitation that I think is being seriously lost today. And I'm not quite sure why. I think it should be revitalized again. Seriously neglected. Inside one of my old Bibles, I have a copy of the promises I made on bended knee at my ordination charge. I was ordained to the office of deacon in 1987. The first question asked, are you willing to accept this call? And by the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, to give yourself fully to this ministry as a faithful servant in the Church of Jesus Christ. The answer was in the affirmative. I am. I remember the weight on my head, a deep sense of responsibility that enveloped my being on bended knees as I felt those heavy hands on my head. A few excerpts of the charge were, it shall be your duty to look after the physical needs of the members. Visit the sick and widowed, comfort them that, and pray with them. It will be your duty to look after the spiritual needs of the church, to give personal help in their needs and devotion to the Lord, and to encourage them in the faith, in the word, in their love for the Savior. Occasionally I look over that old Bible, and I don't now because we're in Belize and I left it at home, but I used to look over that a lot, and I'd think, how am I doing in this very important ministry. You know, that might, you might think it's the preacher's job, the deacon's job, but it should be the responsibility of all. James was writing in general there. I grew up as an Amish boy, and we went to each other's homes, a horse and buggy. We didn't have a radio or television. We didn't have internet, of course, not in those days. We had a telephone, but it was my dad's business phone. And so, you know, in those days, you got a little lonely sometimes. And, you know, a visit from some uncles and aunts just really meant something. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember those days when you maybe felt a little lonely? You were just glad for some visitors coming around because we couldn't quickly go in the car and go somewhere. And, you know, I remember often some of my uncles and aunts used to come around just a little bit before supper on a Sunday evening. Yeah, often happened, without giving us a phone call. Yeah. And we had supper with them right at our house. Mom got some ice cream out. It wasn't very much, you know, but just, you know, like we do for Sunday night. But that kind of thing is lost today. I heard of this one horse and buggy family that was traveling one way, and their neighbors were from some distant place, I'm not sure how far, were traveling the other way, and they met each other, and they stopped and talked to each other. Oh, we were going to come to your house tonight. Oh, we were planning to come to your house tonight. So, you know, that's the way it's been in years gone by. Maybe it's not being lost. I think a lot of our schedules run around holidays, I know, and that's no problem with that, around their own families. And we forget those people in the church, widows, the fatherless, especially in their affliction. And there's something about keeping ourselves unspotted from the world, something pure about it, something undefiled, something that I really need. there's nothing more that really blesses me than just that. But then we should remember those maybe down the street who need Jesus and who pays them a visit and share the gospel with them, who can't repay you in that way. Remember the ones in your church, the neglected and rejected, the ones that just don't, you know, they're not up with the average, you might say. Go visit them. We have in Belize, just down the street, we have a single sister lady, and she can't read. She has a family of five. Her husband was a Christian in the church, but he left her for another lady and moved away and left her with the five to raise a family. We often go to visit her. And some time ago, I just knew I needed to, because the Spirit prompted me to do it. I could have said, I'm too busy. I think we have about every night out of the week something we could plan, we have planned, or something we could plan. And anyway, the Spirit said, this night you should go visit Leonardo Chiok, a member of our church, 17 years of age, a dear, sweet brother. He takes responsibility at times in leading songs and having a little devotional. But anyway, that night I went, I knew he was somewhat discouraged. And we just sat and visited. I didn't even say much. He talked. He did most of the talking and tried to help me see what's happening in his life. And we just talked together and prayed together. I read a little Bible verses together. But later on, he came to me and said, you know, Brother Floyd, at that time, before you came, I had in mind to kind of give up. I had kind of in mind just to forget it. Give up the Christian life. When you came, that just encouraged me so much. I mean, you know what? I didn't hardly say much. I just sat and listened. And I think that's important. Learning to listen, learning to be there. And I have done that before. I want to keep on doing that with Leonardo and some others. We have a small congregation, but we're blessed. Yes, when we go to visit others. Okay, this verse, Luke 14, 12 to 14, when thou makest a dinner, or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, neither thy kinsmen, and thy rich, nor thy rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and recompense be made thee. When thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the judgment, resurrection of the just. Beautiful verses. Go beyond the job description. Go beyond your thinking. Call in those from the highways and byways. Go visit them somehow. Now, there was a church in Georgia that did this. We did this in our own church of Pequi some years ago, Pequi Amish Mennonite. We decided to invite the widows of the community and give them a supper. Widows that weren't from our church, widows from outside our church circles. and invite them from the neighborhood. And we had a wonderful time. And you know, they were so blessed. I count that as not all for the glory of God, pure religion. And we don't do these things like, now it nearly sounds as though Jesus was saying there, you know, we could do this and then we'll get to heaven, you know, because those who don't do this will go to hell. Well, that's not what Jesus was really teaching, because we know elsewhere in the Bible the clear way of heaven is repentance and the new birth experience, right? But these are natural products of the Christian and should be natural products of the Church of Jesus Christ, to enjoy going beyond the job description and calling in the rich, instead of the rich neighbors or those who recompense thee, go to those who can't recompense thee. Amen. Now, bridging the ravine, here is something that I think at times we have difficulty with, and this seminar, this 2 days, has done Marilyn and me so much good, because in the city where we live, you can develop attitudes that are not Christian, better than thou, thinking we just got it made, and these people around us don't. I mean, we live in the slums. That's where God placed us. That's where God placed our mission. Right next door, there's drug dealing. We see it all the time. A man around there, he's got a pretty big fat belly, and he goes over in the grass somewhere with a little black bag and stoops down and makes some movements and puts it in there, in the grass, hides it there. And sometime later, maybe a car comes around and blows its horn a little bit, beep, beep, and he comes out and gets over to the grass somewhere and pulls it out and goes over to the car and deals with him, has a little money, a little exchange there. And right just down the road, two houses down the road, is a lady who makes cigar paper to wrap this weed around and sells that. And it's all around us. Fights and arguments right next door, and rats around sometimes. And oh, then there's some cleanup, and then they have dances at night, not too far, just right next door. And all right. It just goes on and on. Well, you can develop attitudes, you know, but it's important to really love the people we minister to. Some of these verses here are saying that sometimes we just sow and another reaps. One man sows, another reaps. Another man sows, another reaps. You know, Jesus went to Samaria. What challenges and blesses me, he went to Samaria, to the Samaritan woman, and she left the water pot and went back to the city, and she told some people about Jesus. And then they wanted Jesus to stay, and he told some people. Jesus preached and led some people to himself, and they received the gospel. And later on, Philip went into that, Acts 8, went into that same village, and he preached the gospel, and a great church was built. So much so that Peter and John had to be sent down there to see what's going on in that city. What's happening here? Great revival by Philip the evangelist, where I think when Jesus was there, he already was sowing the seed, developing a seed bed. And that's how it often goes, that maybe we will not benefit so much. I mean, we won't be blessed with the harvest. I mean, we need to plant the seed. And even before planting seed, you need to prepare the soil. And some of this visitation sometimes can be like preparing the soil of hard hearts. We were in Turkey a year and a half ago for 5 weeks, 6 weeks, with a group of students from different places. And a lot of what we could do is, yeah, we planted some seed, but a lot of it is preparing soil, and that takes lots of time. Preparing the soil is simply by doing kind deeds and acts, developing a confidence in people. The soil of their hearts, where they have confidence in you, where you can go share with them. You need to be truthful and willing to confess if you make mistakes. Bless those who curse, and daily exemplifying the fruit of the Spirit, not showing partiality, by all means trying to learn the language of the national people. You need to do that to be able to sow the seed and and prepare the soil. So much goes into sowing this. My son and his daughter-in-law, my son and his wife and family were there for about 2 years learning the language. And one day he got a call from a dear brother from Canada. And this Canadian man said he was working on a farm. And he learned how to better do farming. And one of the things he said that he learned there in his farming, you have to have the right kind of, you need to develop and prepare the soil. You have to have the right type of spacing. You have the right type of seed. You have to have the right kind of soil preparation so that the seed can germinate and grow. And that is rather hard sometimes, rather difficult, because it takes time. And there's maybe not so much fruit developed because of hard hearts. Where we live, people have been preparing the soil for a long time, and we do sow quite a bit of seed, but people's hearts are still hard. You know, they still have that. But some are responding to the gospel. Preparing the soil is often tearful, agonizing prayer, showing deeds of kindness in the community where the laborer is stationed, even if he's not appreciated. Here's a reading from A.W. Tozer that I'd like to share with you in relation to this whole thing of people's hearts. A.W. Tozer graphically describes the soil condition of the heart of mankind. The average person in the world today without faith, without God, without hope, is engaged in a desperate personal search throughout his lifetime. He does not really know where he has been. He does not really know what he is doing here and now. He does not know where he's going. The sad commentary is that he is not doing it all on borrowed time. He's doing it on borrowed time and borrowed money and borrowed strength. And he already knows that in the end, he will surely die. It boils down to the bewildered confession of many that we have lost God somewhere along the way. Man, made more like God than any other creature, has become less than like God than any other creature. Created to reflect the glory of God, he has retreated sullenly into his cave, reflecting only in his own sinfulness. Certainly it is a tragedy above all tragedies. And in this world, that man, made with a soul to worship and praise and sing to the God's glory, now sulks silently into his cave. Love has gone from his heart. Light has gone from his mind. Having lost God, he blindly stumbles out through the dark world to find only a grave at the end. This man, this fallen man, has created a perpetual crisis. It will last until sin has been put down and Christ reigns over a redeemed and restored world. Until that time, the earth remains a disaster area, and its inhabitants live in a state of extraordinary emergency. Visitation? Go see your neighbor that has never heard the gospel. Go talk to them. Right in New Holland, south of New Holland, where we lived for a number of years and have a house there. Right next door, God placed some neighbors before we lived there. Quite interesting, from India. And we have often had the privilege of sharing a little bit of that, a little bit of Jesus now and then. We were invited into their house. We invited them to our house and so on. Interesting times together so forth. Well, salt. Am I sprinkling it as a healing and aid to bring cleansing in the lives around us by the blood of Jesus to those who have hurts? In your visitation, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man. Are there any, maybe some of you have questions or even have thoughts? What blesses you in visitation? What do you plan to do? You plan to put this in your schedule? Maybe you already have it in your daily schedule. I want to do better when I go back to Belize. I'll tell you, we're so involved in lots of time kind of running our own machinery. Church work is very important. We have a young church that a lot of members are very young in the faith. Some are older. But we want to just do more of it. Just simply visit. Just to go. This, I think, preachers are lacking in this. And I think sometimes all would take to bring healing in relationships in church splinters or splits or divisions, or even before that, when there's some disagreements, to just go visit. That's all it means. Just go visit. It means so much, doesn't it? It means so much. Anybody like to share something? This is what we mean by bridging the ravine. Jesus invested time in visitation across racial barriers. He reaped what others sowed. And then he sowed too. And others had sowed before. That's in, especially in John chapter 4 there. He reaped what somebody else was sowing. This is talking about preparing the soil. I missed that one. So, yeah. Anybody else have something to share? Yes.
I have a question. Is it appropriate for a person to just simply drop in on someone else, or should you call ahead before you visit, or what's... Uh-huh. Sometimes we are hesitant because we don't know how to handle the visit, when's a good time, when's not. Or...
Right, right. That incident years ago, that was part of our culture, just to drop in on somebody else. And that was between families, you know, right. Brothers, sisters. But today, I think it's good to call and make known that you want to come. We usually do that in our church in Belize, especially, because so we know for sure that they're looking for us, not just coming unawares. But maybe somebody else has a thought there. Yeah, I think it is. I think it's appropriate and polite to and then, and your evening visit, just talk about normal things, average things, you know, things of this. You can get into a lot of good discussions, whether they're Christian or non-Christian. All right, thank you. I'll give the time over to Brother to Brandon there.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.